Acts chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading verse number 1. What we're going to do tonight, we're going to take the first 8 verses and use that to introduce the chapter, and then we'll get our main thought for the message tonight coming from verse number 9. But we're going to do that tonight. Look at the first 8 verses to help us understand what's going on and get our main thought from the chapter and for the message this evening from verse number 9, Acts chapter number 18. And I tell you what, I've enjoyed the study in the book of Acts, but I tell you, it has been a long journey to come all the way to chapter 18. It's been good, and I've enjoyed it. I hope you have enjoyed it as well. But as we approach chapter number 18 tonight, just a couple things I want to remember going forward. Do pray for the radio program. Of course, we're doing that on WPIP 880 AM. So please pray for that gal or use that to help win souls to Christ as we witness and work for others. Please pray for that going forward. And then also we need to remember as well that we need to continue to pray for the lost in our community. Pray for that outreach on Saturday, Super Saturday, soul winning. Pray for those things. Pray for our Wednesday night service, our midweek Bible study coming up on Wednesday night. Pray for that service as well. Now let's go ahead and let's get into the Bible night, chapter 18 and verse number 1. And let's pray for this and go over the scripture together. The Bible says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila and born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were coming from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, who one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold thy peace." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much, Father, for your word. Thank you for the Bible. God, we pray that as we look into Acts 18, God, that you look into our hearts and challenge us from Scripture. Give us something we can take home with us. Give us something to help us during this season of life. Protect us, guide us, use us, O Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we begin chapter 18, the first thing we see is the companions that Paul met. All the companions that Paul met. Paul comes to this city called Corinth. He comes to the city called Corinth. He has left the city of Athens where he's preached on Mars Hill. He preaches the holy word of God and tells the people of the unknown God that they need to turn from their idolatry, that they need to turn from their sin and turn unto the God of heaven. And Paul preached to them. He didn't have a lot of converts, but certainly some got saved in Athens. And God has took the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and they are now in the city of Corinth. As Paul arrives in the city of Corinth, he meets two very important people named Aquila and Priscilla. Verse number 2, "And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla." Why were they there? How did they end up in Corinth? Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. History will tell us during this time there was an emperor named Claudius, the Roman emperor. And the Roman emperor had made a decree that he wanted all the Jewish people that lived in the city of Rome. Some of them may have been slaves. Some of them may have been brought there and were working there. Some of them may have had businesses in the city of Rome. But Claudius said all the Jews had to leave Rome. So even though, because he was a Jewish man, because he was a believer, he had to leave his land where he worked, his occupation, being a tent maker. He had to leave there, and he is settled in the city of Corinth. And with him, he has brought his wife, Priscilla. Now, it's amazing that in the New Testament, only six times, do we meet Aquila and Priscilla. But all six times we meet Aquila, Priscilla is always with him. It's interesting that God wants us to know that marriage is for a lifetime And marriage is a unity. And every time we see these two mentioned together in Scripture, it is a unified effort that they are working together to serve the Lord. Hey, isn't it a beautiful thing when couples work together to serve the Lord? And this man has his beautiful wife. They're there together and they are serving the Lord together. That's Aquila and Priscilla, the companions that he met. But let's also see the compassion he gave. Let's look at verse 5. The Bible says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. We see Paul's companions. We also see Paul's compassion. That there was something that was moving in the heart of the Apostle Paul, that he wanted to see the Corinthian people grow, that he cared about them, that he had went a lot of places, but not everywhere. Paul's spirit was pressed. It did something in Paul's heart to see the people in Corinth, and he wanted to help them. I'm going to tell you right now, in the Bible, the Corinthian people were a wicked people. The land of Corinth was a wicked city. We could say it was the Las Vegas of the day. It was the sin city of the ancient world. It was a place full of idolatry, which is sin. It was a place full of pagan practices, which is sin. It was a place where sin was dominant. The history would tell us that outside the city of Corinth, there was this great temple built to the Greek god Aphrodite. And there would be all these people that lived in that temple. And they were, just to put it mildly, they were prostitutes. And they would come into the city at night and try to bring the men out of the city into the temple to commit intimacy and fornication and just wicked practices all over the city of Corinth. And to this place, this wicked city, where sin was everywhere, God had brought the Apostle Paul. And as Paul comes to this city, he had felt compassion for them. He saw them given to idolatry. He saw them given to sin. He saw them given to immorality. And that didn't sit good in Apostle Paul's heart. And he said, I want to help them. So he would go and he would preach Jesus Christ to them, the Bible tells us. The compassion he gave. And then we see the convictions he showed. Look at verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go into the Gentiles. He departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. It was in the conviction of the Apostle Paul's heart to preach the gospel. In verse 6, he went to the Jews. He would go in the synagogues and preach and tell the Jewish people they needed to turn to the Christ of the New Testament, to Jesus, that he loved them, that he died for them. And they would ignore him. They would say he was blaspheming. They did not want anything to do with the God of the Apostle Paul. So Paul had something to say. He said, your blood be upon your old hands. If you don't want to listen, I will go tell somebody that cares about Jesus. I will go tell the gospel to somebody who will listen. And the Apostle Paul, he shook the dust off his feet and he told others. And the Bible tells us in verse 8 that many Corinthians believed and were baptized. They got saved because the Apostle Paul had a conviction to share the gospel for those that would listen. But in verse number 9, we see a truth that I think is very relevant for this time that we're living in. Let's look at verse 9 together. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Paul's going through all this in Corinth. He's living there. And let's think about it. Paul's been run out everywhere he's been. He's been stoned. He's been run out. He's been kicked out of town. He's got all these Jews that are traveling after him, trying to stir up the people and kick him out of town. And Paul gets to Corinth. People are getting saved. And what does God tell him? Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. He said, be not afraid. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. So for the few minutes we have this evening, I'd like to preach on be not afraid. If we're going to be honest this evening just for a few minutes, could we say that we're living in a time of fear? I think that would be accurate. We're living in a time of fear. And I don't know about you, and I get how people in the world and in our country today, they're afraid of what's going to happen on Election Day in a few days. Anybody like that? That's okay. Amen. Some people are afraid that one side's going to win. Some people are really afraid the other side's going to win. Some people are going to afraid if people are going to get riot and upset if their side don't win. Some people are afraid with the aftermath, the political consequences, the economic consequences. What's going to happen? Can we understand? I understand a little bit why people are afraid. Could we say tonight that people are afraid just because of the recent storms? I feel it for the people in Asheville and the people down in Florida, and they're going to sleep tonight afraid because they've lost their life savings they had security in. People are going to sleep afraid tonight because their home was destroyed by a hurricane and just by the trouble they faced. And there's people that just don't know what tomorrow holds. I believe we could say there are people, they don't have a lot of money right now, and they're just afraid. They don't know what they're going to do, and they got to send kids to school tomorrow, and they're afraid of all the sorrow in our schools and the trouble and the violence in the school system. And they're afraid what their kids are going to learn with critical race theory and all this stuff going on in the schools. It's sad. Can we say it's all sad? And if we're living in a day where fear is everywhere, lost people are afraid. And I understand why. How a lost person would be afraid. They don't have the Spirit of God to help them. They don't have the Spirit of God to strengthen them. They don't have something to lean on in times of crisis and in times of need. They have not the Spirit of God. I understand why a lost person is afraid in our day. And could I also say today, I understand why a saved person would be scared with the future looming large in our country, with the future in doubt, and they see churches closing and mosques going up, and they see all this groups come out that are totally against anything that the Bible says. And I can see why a Christian person who knows God and is saved and is on their way to heaven, why there would be some fear in their heart, because they just don't know what tomorrow brings. And can I say Paul was kind of like that tonight? Paul was living in a wicked place, just like we are. Paul was living around wicked people, just like we are. Paul was living in a place he did not know what tomorrow held. But God comes to him in verse 9, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision. The Lord was there with Paul, and he said, Paul, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Number one, as God says, be not afraid, we see the comfort from the Lord. And be not afraid. The comfort from the Lord. You know, the Greek word for fear is where we get our word phobias. Phobias. We've all heard of different kinds of phobia. Mysophobia is the fear of dirt. Hydrophobia is the fear of water. Nyclophobia is the fear of darkness. Acrophobia is the fear of high places. Arachnophobia is the fear of spiders. Taxophobia is the fear of being buried alive. Xenophobia is the fear of strangers. Nacrophobia is the fear of the dead. Claustrophobia is the fear of confined spaces. Triscaphidophobia is the fear of the number 13. I don't have that one, so I'm good on that front at least. Unfortunately, many people have learned to fear so many things in our day, but have never learned to fear God. The Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says, fear not them which kill the body or are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:28. Many fear what man can do unto them. But we live in a culture where the Bible says there's no fear of God before their eyes. Oh, we live in a culture, can we say amen to this, where the people are so afraid of what others think, but there's no fear of God before their eyes. When we fear God, we need not fear anything else. Fear not or be not afraid is mentioned 103 times. That phrase, fear not, or the phrase be not afraid, appears 103 times in the King James Bible. God doesn't want us to have fear. That's the comfort from the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Mark 5:36, as soon as Jesus has heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. No matter what enemies we face, we do not need to fear, because God is greater than the enemy of the challenges that were around us. The Bible still says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We are not capable, but praise God, God is able tonight. God is able. How can I not fear? Hey, I don't want to be afraid. Apostle Paul had some fear in his heart. How could we explain God saying, don't be afraid, if Paul didn't have some fear in his heart? I'm going to get kicked out of Corinth. I just got kicked out of Athens. Before that, I got kicked out of Berea. I got kicked out of this city and that city. Can I just stay in Athens just for a week or two, just to have a little rest? And God says, be not afraid. You ain't going to go anywhere for a while. Be not afraid. The comfort from the Lord was for Paul to give him support, to give him safety, to give him help. How can we not fear? Oh, we need to try him. It's like that old song says, those who wholly try him find him wholly true. Because when we try him, we learn to trust him, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. God wants us to trust him. Challenges come into our life to strengthen our trust for him. Stronger storms make us dig deeper roots into the word of God and in prayer and find out how much he can do for us when we will but trust him. All we need to trust our Lord. We live in a dark time, but the darker the night, praise God, brighter the light can shine, that we can trust God. Well, what about the election? We can trust God for that. What about our finances? I don't know what it's going to be like, the economy and this and that. We can trust God. Preacher, I just don't know about all the wickedness going on around us. We can trust God. Well, preacher, the school system's all messed up. We can trust God. Well, I just tell you, preacher, it's just, it doesn't look good any which way you turn. Yes, I agree with you. The culture's against God. Many churches have turned their back on the Holy Spirit of God. But we can still, in our day, in our time, we can trust God. All we need to trust him. So we can try, if we try him, we'll find out that we can trust him. God might want you to trust him for something you never thought would be in your life. God, I didn't expect this. Maybe that's just something God has put there for you to trust him. Everywhere Paul went, it seems like the cities get worse. That city didn't want me. This city really didn't want me. This city tried to kill me. It just gets worse and worse for Paul. Wicked city after wicked city, and the sin just grows and grows. But everywhere Paul went, God had a purpose for him there. And God had a desire that Paul was to fulfill for the Lord. But God has something for us to do. We need to try him. We need to say, hey, this works. If the Bible is true, it actually works. If I follow what it says, God will do what he promised he would do. We can trust him. We will find that he is wholly true if we wholly trust him. All we need to do is to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Many of us aren't happy with our Christian life because we've not trusted and we've not obeyed. And I find this to be true. Somebody say amen about this. When we start trusting him, we'll start obeying him.
Amen.
Many people, we don't obey the Lord because we don't trust the Lord. Well, I can't do that because if I do that, I just don't know if God's going to come through for me. I just don't know if it's going to happen. If we trust him, we'll find out we can obey him. And then after we try him and trust him, we can thank him. Psalms 145, I will extol thee, my God. I will extol thee, my God. Now, you probably like me. I haven't had somebody extol me a lot. I really don't know what extol means. You might think that tonight. What's extol mean? Extol means to bless the Lord, to praise the Lord, that I'm going to take him, I'm going to talk about how good he's been. I imagine it today if we would open up a history book, an American history book, and George Washington's picture was there, and it would extol him about all the things he had did for our country, and it would list off that he was this, and he was a general, and he was the president, and he was the leader, and he did this, and this, and this. That book would be extolling George Washington. It would be claiming all the feats and great things that he did for our nation. If we're going to extol God, that's where we're thanking him. Oh, God, thank you for letting me have a job. Oh, God, thank you for putting this in my life. God, thank you for bringing this church in my life. God, thank you for letting me see this in your word and using your word to bless me and help me. God, thank you for the food that I eat. Thank you for the shoes that I wear. Thank you for the house that I live in. I extol thee, oh, Lord. Hey, I need to extol the Lord. I need to bless the Lord. I need to praise the Lord. Because when we try him and trust him, we'll find out, God, we can thank you because you've been so good to us. The less we look at the world around us, we really can lose our fear because our eyes are on Jesus. I will look unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. We can try him. We can trust him. And that leads us to thank him. Oh, we need to tell God thank you. And it gets all over me sometimes. It will hit me. And y'all pray for me. It hits me. I'll say, John, you have not thanked the Lord for dying on the cross for you today. It happens to me. Y'all pray for me. I'll be in the shower. I'll be getting ready in the morning. I'll be driving the car. John, you haven't thanked God for dying on the cross for your sins today. I need to thank him every day. I need to extol him every day. God's been good to us. God has been gracious to us. God's been merciful. God's took care of us. We need to extol him. We need to thank him because we can trust him. The comfort God gave Paul when he said, be not afraid. Don't fear. Be not afraid. The comfort from God. But we don't just see the comfort from God here. The Bible also tells us about the commandment from God. God told Paul, be not afraid. But Paul, that's something you got to do. Let's look back at verse 9. What happens next? The Bible tells us, be not afraid, but speak. But speak. God says, Paul, stop being afraid. You got to stop that. But Paul, there's something you've got to start. Stop being afraid. But now the Bible says to start speaking. But speak. Paul's been preaching. This is a command from the Lord to continue doing what he is doing. And God says, Paul, you need to keep doing what you're doing. The commandment from God. Notice this. We have been given the comfort before the commandment. Before God told Paul to keep doing what he knew to be right, God comforted him that he would take care of him and that it was right. The commandment came, the comfort came before the commandment. We see the commandment from God. It's a command to speak. Oh, it's a command to speak. The great pastor from Chicago for many years ago, D.L. Moody, told the story that one day he was walking down the sidewalk in Chicago and he saw a man leaning up against the telephone pole. And he was there, and D.L. Moody went up to him and he put his hand on his shoulder and he said, hey, sir, are you a Christian? He wanted to witness to the man. He wanted to give the gospel to the man. And the man shook him off his shoulder and said, mind your own business. D.L. Moody said, well, sir, I do apologize. I did not mean to offend you. But this is my business. I must be about my Father's business. It is the business of every Christian to be about Paul's business to speak. To speak. And I know with this, and y'all understand this, it is easy. Oh, praise God, it is easy sometimes to be afraid when you want to tell somebody about the Lord. I every time I get to try to talk to somebody about Jesus, I can be afraid. And when we go out on Super Saturday soul winning, it can be a scary thing at times. That's okay. That's okay. You can have the gospel track there, and you go up to the door and make sure nobody's looking at you. And so I remember when I first started going soul winning, I'd be sitting there, and because I'd be nervous. And sometimes I'd just put that track, and I'd just go around the corner, see if they got it. And it can be a nervous thing at times. It can be a scary thing to talk to somebody about the Lord. I understand that. But God has commanded us to do it. And before he told Paul to speak, he said, don't be afraid to speak. Don't worry what they're going to do to you. Don't worry, I've got this. I'm going to take care of you. We live in a country on earth where we have a freedom to do this. There's a pastor that worked in the bus ring at the college I went to. He's in Italy. Today he's preaching the gospel. And in Italy, where he has his church and he's pastoring, he cannot go door to door and give out the gospel tract. It's illegal for him to do that in the country of Italy. They've made it illegal for someone to do that. So he can't do that. He doesn't have the freedom we have to give the gospel to others. If you and I were in parts of Asia today and we tried to do that, they would lock us up and send us to a concentration camp. We live in a country that God has given us freedom and the ability where nobody's going to bother us. Where we have a freedom, that God-given freedom to witness and to share our faith with others. Not everybody has that, but God has given us that. So we can really say what Paul knew, that we don't have to be afraid to give a gospel tract to somebody we know. We don't have to be afraid to invite a family member to church. We don't have to be afraid to let people know that we love the Lord and we want them to come love God with us at Ashland Street. We don't have to be afraid to do that because we have a country where that's allowed, where we have freedom, where we don't have to worry about those things. God has given us freedom. We can say, be not afraid, when Paul had a command to speak. But Paul also had a command to stay, a command to stick around. The Bible says in chapter 18, verse 9, he said, but speak, hold not thy peace, verse 10, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. God said in this city, Paul, you're going to stay right here. I'm going to take care of you. You have a command to speak. You got a command to stay. Paul, you're going to stay here. God said, I am with thee. I am with thee. What a comfort from God in this commandment. I am with thee. Paul, you ain't got to be afraid because I'm right here with you. You and I, next time we want to tell somebody about the Lord, we don't have to be afraid because God is there with us. Next time you want to pray with somebody, we don't have to be afraid. God is there with us. Well, I don't know what to say. Just trust God. He'll tell you what to say. He'll give you the words to say. He promised He would. We can trust Him for that.
That's right.
The Lord has helped me. Sometimes I say something, I say, oh, that was smart. Well, it wasn't me that said it. It was the Holy Spirit that helped me. It was God that showed me what to say. Anytime I give anybody an answer when we go out and invite people to church, God gave it to me. I didn't just come up with it. It was from the Lord. The answer of the tongue is from the Lord. God helps us when we need His help to speak to others. God made a promise to Paul. He said, I am with thee. The idea here is that God is saying, I will attend, I will bless, I will protect you. Paul, I'm going to take care of you as you work for me. And I hear people say sometimes, well, the gospel doesn't work the way it used to. But I promise you this, the gospel works if we work the gospel. The more we give the gospel, the more God can open hearts through the gospel. The gospel still works if we will still work the gospel. We see the comfort from the Lord. We see the commandment from God. And then we see the companionship from the Lord. The companionship from the Lord. Let's look at verse 10. God says, God brings comfort, God brings peace. When He says, be not afraid, He follows the command to speak. And in verse 11, let's look at verse 11. He continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. So what? Very next, there's two verses away, God speaks, and then Paul gets arrested. And they send him to the judgment seat. He's in the courtroom in Corinth, and the judge, Gallio, he's up yonder on the scene. Verse 13, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. Now, is that true? No. They're going to put a false accusation against Paul. Does that sound familiar? That's what they did to Jesus. You look at the story of Christ when He goes to the cross. We have false witnesses who their testimony didn't agree. They committed perjury. We had a false arrest of Jesus. We had a false accusation. You had false witnesses. They had to break the law to put an innocent man to death. And they're going to try the same thing to Paul. That whenever they went to get Jesus, He had no crimes. They found no fault in Him. So He had to make up some things. And they're going to try to do the same thing to Paul. What do we call that? It's a New Testament command for you and me to be blameless. Blameless doesn't mean an accusation will never come. Blameless means there's no place for the accusation to stand when it comes. Paul was blameless. Verse 14. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, or ye Jews reason, what would that I should bear with you? But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Hey, the judge here, he says, this is something to do with y'all Jews. This is something in y'all's law. It has nothing to do with the law of the empire. Go no way. I'm not going to pass any judgment on this man. That was God's work. They said, the men said, well, we've got Paul. We're going to take him to the judgment seat. We're going to get the courts to put him in prison and get him out of our city. But God's promise was true. That they're going to try and do something to you, Paul, but you ain't got to worry. Be not afraid. He said, I am with thee. No man shall set to hurt thee. I've got much people in the city. The people said, we got Paul, but they didn't know that God had already been to the judge's house. God had already visited those judges' chambers. People can make all the plans they want, but God was one step ahead of all their plans. People can say, we want to destroy this. We want to destroy Christians. God is one step ahead. We don't have to worry. We can be not afraid. Be not afraid. Let's look at verse 15. Verse 17. Then all the Greeks took Sothias, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. Look at this. I want you all to notice this verse 17. We can almost miss this in the chapter. And this goes with our thought tonight. Be not afraid. God's going to take care of His. Who is the chief ruler of the synagogue in verse 17? Somebody help me. Somebody shout it to me. Verse 17. Who's the chief ruler of the synagogue? That's very good. Very good. Now, let's look back here. Back at the beginning of the chapter. Look at verse 8. Who is the chief ruler of the synagogue in verse 8? Crispus. So what's happening here? Was there election in the meanwhile? Don't worry. No, there wasn't. What happened? Look, read verse 8. We get what happened. Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. Crispus got saved. He was a Jew. He was a devout Jew. He heard Paul preach. Paul's sermon stirred his heart, and Crispus got saved by the grace of God. He put his faith in Jesus Christ. And now we get to verse 17, and there's another chief ruler of the synagogue. What happened? I wonder, I can't prove this, I wonder if Crispus got saved and those Jewish, the other Jews said, we ain't going to have this, and they kicked him out, and then this other man, Sothius, takes his place. And when then the Jews, they tried to get rid of Paul, the unbelievers, that was Sothius got punished. Crispus probably thought, I got fired for trusting Jesus, but he's not the one that got beaten. We can be not afraid, because God's going to take care of his people. Crispus may have come home and said, honey, I lost my job. Don't worry, you ain't the one that's going to get beat when they try to get rid of Paul. God had already taken care of them. God was one step ahead. God's always one step ahead, so we can say, be not afraid. Verse 18, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while and took his leave of the brethren. So I want to look at this before we move on to the next city that Paul's going to. Paul, the Bible says, Paul tarried there yet a good while. God's promises were true, and Paul got to settle down. It may have been there for anywhere from 3 to 6 months, but Paul got to have a place of rest, a place of peace. God was going to take care of him. No man will hurt thee. God had a plan for him. Paul would later write in 2 Timothy 4:16, the Bible says that Paul wrote, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsake me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by my preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He said, guess what? Timothy, you ain't got to be afraid. God got me out of the mouth of the lion. No man stood with me, but the Lord was with me, Paul said. I can be not afraid, because when nobody else is there, God was there. God said, I've got much people in the city, and I'm here, Paul. You ain't got to worry. God gave Paul specific words to encourage him in his ministry in Corinth. These are promises of provision from the word of God. He had promise of his presence. God said, I am with thee. He had a promise of his provision, that God said, no man will hurt thee. And he had a promise that gave power. A promise that gave power. You and I, if we would look in our Bible tonight, we'd go on in our Bible, we'd leave the book of Acts, and we'd go past the book of Romans, and past the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, we're going to find some letters that Paul wrote. And if we look at history, it is believed by many biblical scholars that during that six-month time where God gave Paul a place of rest, where he made tents, he had a place in Corinth to rest with Aquila and Priscilla, that it is believed while Paul had this place that Paul would sit down and he would write the book of 1 Thessalonians. Then also he would sit there and he would write back to his friends in the country of Galatia. He would write the book of Galatians. And if Paul is the writer of Hebrews, it is often believed that this time he would write the book of Hebrews to help those Jewish Christians live for God and other Jews turn to Christ. You can go home today and over this next week, read 1 Corinthians, read Galatians, and read Hebrews. And know that Paul wrote those books saying, God told me to fear not. I can write these words. God's got something for me to tell others. I get to write back to those Christians in Thessalonica. I get to tell all those churches in Galatia to serve the living, true God. And I'm going to help the Jews that want to hurt me turn to Christ with this book of Hebrews. God had a plan for Paul. God wanted Paul to be not afraid. Because when Paul wasn't afraid, God could use him to write part of our New Testament. Read those books, and we could say tonight, God has something for him, what he realized he could fear not. Oh, be not afraid, like the Lord said. There was a mother and her four-year-old daughter. They were preparing to go to bed one night, and she got the doors locked and was turning the lights off in the house. The little girl, she was scared of the dark, and she felt fear. But she knew it was time for the lights to go out. She was scared. She looked out the window of the house and saw the bright full moon outside. She said, "Mom, is the moon God's nightlight?" The mother said, I reckon it is. The next question was, "Will God put out his light and go to sleep?" And she said, "No, honey, God never goes to sleep. He never slumbers or sleeps." The little girl stopped and thought for a moment, "Well, if God's going to be up all night, I guess I can go to sleep." And she put her head in her pillow and went off to sleep. She could trust the Lord, but so can we. Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of the man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Why don't we get some sleep and let God worry about our troubles for a change? Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Be not afraid. The message for God for Paul is a great message for you and me. Be not afraid. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for your message that we can be not afraid.